Well, now it's time to welcome back Carl Merry, who's come along yet again with another of his Essex tales. And Carl, what have you got for us this week?
Well, we're on Mersey Island, and if you drive across the Strood, which is covered twice a day by the tide, it's the only way on to Mersey Island by car and off, of course. And instead of turning right towards West Mersey, you turn left to East Mersey, you will pass a burial mound. Mm-hmm. That looks for all the world like a Celtic burial mound. It was excavated in 1912. But I'm not going to tell you the story of that. I'm going to tell you a story which was first published in a 19th century novel called Mahala by the Reverend Sabine Baring Gould, who was vicar at East Mersey. Most famous probably these days for having written Onward Christian Soldiers.
They certainly had some interesting Christian names in those days.
Sabine Baring wrote over 100 books. His book of werewolves is not to be trifled with, I can assure you.
It's amazing for a vicar to write on a book on werewolves. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear the story, Carl. Thank you.
Very well. There were two Viking brothers, twin boys, born on the same night, under the same stars, the same moon. Identical, it seemed. As they grew as children, they played together, they did not argue, they never fought. And their father, the chieftain of that particular village, was proud of them, for they grew tall and strong. And they were trained in the ways of the Viking, with sword and axe and shield and sailing. And they excelled in those things. But when the brothers fought each other, neither could gain the upper hand, for each was as strong, as swift, as cunning, as clever as the other. But it came a time, as it comes in every young man's life, when he thinks he is better than his father. And so they went to their father and said, "When you were a young man, you raided the soft coast of England, East Anglia. Give us a ship that we can take the young men of the village and we can also make names for ourselves." And their father could see that he was not going to be able to dissuade them from this. So he gave them a fleet of ships, crewed by the young men of the village who wished to make names for themselves, and also by old hands, old warriors skilled in the raiding and sailing. And those ships sailed off, and they raided up and down the coast of East Anglia, until they came to St. Osyth's. And there at St. Osyth's, they went into a church, and there they found a saint kneeling at prayer. And one Viking warrior, with a single sweep of his axe, severed her head from her shoulders. And they began to throw it all around the church, one to another. They were about to leave when they saw a foot protruding from the altar cloth. And they rushed up and they pulled out from under that altar cloth a young woman. A beautiful young woman, the saint's sister. And they took her to the two brothers, their leaders. And as soon as they saw her, each brother fell in love with her. Each wanted her for his own. And for the first time in their lives, for the first time in some 20 years, they argued. Almost came to blows. Until it was agreed that they would fight for her the next morning. And so they pulled up on the shore of Mersey Island. And there, with sword and shield and axe, they fought. They fought from the time when the sun came up. Through the day they fought. But they were equally matched, equally strong, equally swift, equally cunning and clever, and neither could get the upper hand. But by the time night was falling, their shield arm and their sword arms were tired, and they began to deal each other wounds. And as the sun set, each with the last of their strength dealt their brother a mortal blow. And they fell dead on the sand, the blood staining that sand red. The bodies were taken aboard the ships and washed. And the young men, the dead chieftain's sons, were arrayed in their finest gear. And when the next morning came, a Viking ship was dragged up the shore to a field. And the two brothers were laid in the hold of that ship. And then they took the young woman that had been the cause of the problem, and they put her in the hold of the ship, and they manacled her right hand to the left hand of one dead brother, and her left hand to the right hand of the other dead brother. And then they piled into the hold of that ship earth. They piled earth upon the dead brothers and the living young woman. And they piled the earth higher and higher and higher until a burial mound was formed. And it stands there to this day. And it is said that should you go at the dead of night and listen at that mound, you may hear the sound of sword upon shield, of shield against sword. Because as the moon waxes and grows larger, those long dead brothers' bones, once more formed from the dust, flesh once more forms around the bones, their swords and their shields, long rusted away, become bright and sharp. And as the moon waxes, they fight. And when the moon is at its fullest, you can hear the clamour of the fighting of the brothers. But should you go there as the moon is waning, the fighting will grow dimmer. And if you are there when the moon shines least bright, when it is at its smallest, you will hear no sound of fighting. All you will hear are the screams of a young girl as earth is piled upon her living body.
Well, that's not a very nice ending, is it? Deary me.
Yes, I'm not saying it's a pleasant story, but it might give you some indication of the character of Sabine Baring Gould, because not much of that was my addition.
Right.
I do tell a longer version, which has got quite a bit more in, but I would say 90% of that is Sabine Baring Gould's story.
My word. Well, yes, I wouldn't. I don't know that I'd like to have been in his congregation.
he was not a popular vicar on East Mersey, not at all.
No.
He looked down upon the people. Yes. If you read the opening of Mihaela, the 19th century novel he wrote, he is very scathing about Mersey Island and its people.
Right, and you'd never know it from Onward Christian Soldiers, I have to say.
But that's his famous one.
Right, so what have you got for us next week? I hope something a little bit more
cheerful. No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid not. Next week, I'm going to 1645, which, for those historically minded, you will know, was at the height of the witch hunts in Essex, and Master Matthew Hopkins and John Stern.
Right. So are you going to Colchester or?
We are going to Colchester.
Right. Okay. We look forward to that. Well, I think we look forward to it. Thank you, Carl.